nervous?
No.
Where's your answer?
Dennis Beckham, that's the ball on! Dennis Beckham! Dennis Beckham! Dennis Beckham! Dennis Beckham!
Oh, no! Oh, yes! He missed it!
Welcome to the Suffering From Joy podcast. My name's Devin. Austin Aztecs, 2-0 over Austin FC last night. Of course, they moved to Orlando since then and became an MLS team, but try to focus on positives as we get started here. Joining me today, back from Bridgeview, Illinois, Seth, who knows everything. Seth, how you feeling?
I am glad that I watched that game on mute yesterday.
Good, good. As always, Brad Tillery. Brad, how are you?
I'm glad that I watched that game with a greasy burger in hand and kind of off to the corner by myself at a watch party.
Yeah. Charles Peacock of the False Nine, Texas. How about you?
I'm also glad I watched the match on mute.
Good, good. I don't think I feel anything, especially after the U.S. got me primed on Thursday night for almost being mad that they won a game. Like, obviously, it's nice that we won and da-da-da, but like the way it happened and everything and how they played, it was just like, holy shit. And then, of course, we basically give up almost the exact same non-defending goal at the back post in this game, and it all just sort of washed away, and I was pretty numb to the whole thing by the end of the game. And that's happening with alarming frequency. So I guess let's get right into it. Charles, you want to give us kind of like a high-level thought on the game? I think we're all going to be pretty close in agreement here.
I mean, my high-level thought is just that this is the team, and this is the coach, and we've seen them play the same. Well, I'm sorry, play is probably too strong of a word. We've seen them go onto a field and attempt to play soccer in this way every match this season, and it doesn't work. It doesn't lead to any offense. It also doesn't lead to defense. We're currently last in shots on target against. We're last in our own shots on target, our own XG. It's just, it's really impressive by Josh Wolf to have a team that both can't score and can't defend.
It's honestly remarkable that we have 3 points.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's such a wild start to the season of seeing this team just be not just bad, but boringly bad. Like, if we were excitingly bad, if we were, like, losing, like, 4-3 and we had, like, a puncher's chance every game, like, that's different than just knowing that as soon as a team scores a second goal, like, and the team goes down. Like, once the team goes down, you know the match is over.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of a friendly between Ireland and Belgium yesterday, and it ended 0-0, and Evan Ferguson missed a penalty, and it was kind of like a, you know, you've seen this game before, and like not a ton happens, and you kind of afterwards you go, oh, well, that was certainly a game of soccer. I don't even think we're getting to that was certainly a game of soccer level at this point, but Brad, how about you? What are your overarching thoughts?
Same shit, different week.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep waiting for a team that goes on the field and looks like they want to at least attempt to earn their paycheck, and I don't see it, and I haven't seen it for a long time. I was thinking about this right before I joined our call here. When was the last time we went on the road and looked remotely competitive?
The game and we won at Minnesota in July of last year.
Yeah. It's just...
And even that game, we got outplayed, and even though we won 4-1.
Yeah, it's just, it's annoying that this is over and over and over again, that we show up every week, and we don't even look like that we want to be on the field. And when that's the case, why should I want to watch and spend my 2 hours every Saturday dealing with this and watching bad product as opposed to doing something else? I mean, at least the folks who went to the game last night and actually like made the trip over got to see an awesome 90s throwback concert after
apparently it was cut short because there was some weather right after the game, and there was like a 30 to 45 minute delay, and most of them just said screw it and left the stadium.
You cannot cut Montel Jordan short. That's not okay. There's nothing more to say to a point. We keep kind of saying the same things every game, but it's because it's the same themes every game, which is just lackluster, lack of effort, mental lapses that are easily rectifiable if you just coach it. So,
I mean, Seth, you mentioned Minnesota in July of last year was the last time we looked pretty good on the road. That's nearly the full gestation time of a human being.
Yeah, and it's amazing. We're in season four of Austin FC, and we are not on our longest road non-win streak in club history.
Was that at least season one?
Yeah, well, we won at Minnesota in, what you call it, I think it was May 1st of 2021 and did not have another road win until the Pollo Miracle in D.C. of April 22.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
First year a pass, right? Because year one, man, that roster.
Well, like, the year one roster would have beaten us 3-1 tonight or last
night. Oh, absolutely.
Like, that is how, like, we are worse than year one by a good leaps and bounds. I mean, I was just watching the MLS weekly wrap-up before doing this. And Jared Stroud had two balls in that led to goals for DC United against his former St. Louis City team. Kip Keller scored a goal. I mean, it was rolled offside, so it didn't actually count. You get to a point of, and, like, these guys are marginal role players, but marginal role players are doing better on other teams than they are on this team because there is no – like, who is this team even built around at this point? Like, you can't even say this team was built around Seba with the way he's coming back. And obviously, I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass. He's coming back from an injury. But, like what was that team built around, Stu, for making saves last night?
Yeah, but the thing was, we give Seba a pass, but Seba's been doing what he did last night a whole lot over the last year and a half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is disappearing. The highest paid, best player on the team just disappears from the match. Way too often. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we got to hold him accountable too. Just because he had an awesome 2022 does not mean you get to ride on that.
I couldn't agree more there. I was saying specifically for the injury there, but it's unclear to me what this team is actually like. One of the things that I was thinking as I was preparing for this today is, like, if you were building a roster from scratch, who on this team is actually worth bringing forward under this system right now? And Brad Stuver might be the only answer. I mean, I think this team really should be built around Danny, but Josh isn't doing that, and that's a whole separate story we can go into. But whew, it's rough.
Yeah, I think we've all got some knives to throw or pull out or whatever metaphor you want to use here.
I mean, he was game makers from across the world in the middle of the night, so that was awesome too.
Yeah, I love that Adrian's on an eat, pray, love trip and is still literally having to do, like, therapy about caring about Austin FC by bitching about Josh Wolf. Like, dude, come on, enjoy your vacation. On the plus side, it is incredibly easy to boycott merch and concessions about this team. Because you just sort of show up and you're like, well, I don't give a shit. Whatever. Like, maybe we'll score, I guess.
Like, I mean, the most important metric of this next 2 months is not going to be an on-the-field metric, but it's going to be the season ticket renewal rate. And if we continue with this loss-loss, occasional draw pattern, ooh, I don't think there's going to be a waiting list come next season.
No, and I'm kind of skeptical about there being a waiting list.
Same.
That's actually active in general. Because I think there's a lot of, like, well, so-and-so's on the waiting list, and we called them and then told them how much tickets were, and they went, oh, well, fuck that. But, you know, we'll see. You guys want to get into some fun stats?
There are fun stats.
Yeah, there are a ton of fun stats. So currently, the number of goals scored by Austin FC strikers is exactly equal to the number of goals scored by people who went to the same high school as me against Austin FC.
Oh, no.
Austin FC has the same number of shots on goal this season as Orlando City did last night. Charles, do you have any you want to add, or anybody else come up with?
I got one. So after Lewis Morgan's hat trick yesterday and Devan Jovanovic's goal for the Galaxy, that both of them are on five goals in the Golden Boot race, and our entire team is on five goals.
Yeah, which, by the way, our shooting percentage is like shooting the lights out of the gym right now, which means we're overperforming XG, and this is what we're still getting.
It's something else.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing where Austin, like, it seems to me like there's a new club, or I'm not sure if it's new or not, but a club philosophy of, like, shots aren't important or a stat that we care about unless they're like really good chances. And so Austin Both doesn't shoot unless it's a really good chance and seems to not care about other teams shooting unless it's a really good chance. And that just totally skews like the shots on target numbers, but also like that strategy is dumb and it doesn't work. So it's just something that like you really wonder like what the basis of the club is at this point, because there isn't any like overarching strategy or plan.
No, there were a few moments too, like where I was almost thinking we had something figured out. And this is really the first 20, maybe 30 minutes of the game where Orlando's kind of pushing up and pressing high on us. And we're like one pass away from this like great jailbreak where like you get the ball at and then it's like a complete break to the other end and the defenders are on their heels. And we just never made that pass. We just kept going, slide it back to the defender, slide it back to Stuver. And, you know, it's not like, okay, we're just taking a safe thing. It's like the pass was there. It wasn't like super high risk. Like you're trying to float two defenders in the middle of the park or something. Like it was just hit it forward and we wouldn't do it.
Well, and it's not just that. There, you mentioned high risk passes. We don't even try medium risk passes in the final third. There were a couple of times last night where O'Brien was splitting defenders. Try the ball to him and see if you can get it through. Worst case, you create a foul outside or just outside the box or something. Like this team is so timid that it's not even funny. They're scared to try anything. They're scared to make a mistake. And they play like robots, quite frankly. Like Josh is in their head trying to push every button. And because of that, we don't do anything right. Because it just looks like they're constantly second guessing themselves.
Well, and especially for a team that has put so much emphasis on. Yeah. I mean, especially for a team that like has put so much emphasis on set pieces and trying to score on set pieces, to not like try those wrist passes that can cause fouls or can get players on the cards. Like Josh in the press conference said that like, oh, the margins are so thin, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you don't do anything to make the margins in your favor.
Yeah. At least like make your own luck or try or something. Like they're not just going to come out and hand you a dangerous free kick or something. I mean, we might do that to someone, but I don't think it's coming our way. I did notice too, there's sort of a timeline when we get new players and they kind of come out and they look pretty good and then they sort of get wolfized. And I think last night was the Rubio and O'Brien get wolfized game. Where even Rubio is normally like.
I mean, there's a reason why these guys were available. Like, yeah. You get to a point like O'Brien, how many players were even selected in this year's re-entry draft? I think it was something like four. Like, you go to the point where like O'Brien he has speed, but like the guy can't even. It's not even that so much that he was wolf-ized. Like, he just basically can't dribble.
Oh, no. I mean, that's always been his problem. Like, fast guy, not a ton of like final product or on the ball skill, but. He can at least be a fast guy and we can at least try to like exploit him being fast and maybe get a foul or something or win a corner or whatever.
No, he didn't do any of that. I mean, it's sort of like the Chelsea effect at a certain point. It's like, you don't care how many pounds you were signed for. You suddenly go into this team and your play is going to drop by 2 to 3 levels just by being part of by putting on the uniform. And that's really sad and depressing to think about.
Yeah. And it's not just that. Think about like, and a lot of these are kind of like, lower level FC tier guys, but like think about how many players are like tweeting out like, holy shit, I'm glad to be out of there, or nice to see you're free, or whatever, like that. Free from that system, and it's starting to add up. I mean, it's been added up for a while, but it's starting to add up more, I guess.
I guess it begs the question then. So I mean, all four of us by the end of last season were all of the opinion that Josh Wolf should not have had the opportunity to manage a fourth season. No. Firing a manager in the middle of a season, early in a season, at a point is a, okay, yesterday, if you look at his press conference, he comes into the point of here, yes, I only had 14 field players in the game, but yet none of the 14 field players looked like they wanted to be there. None of them looked like they wanted to show anything. Like, it's a... I mean, I feel like the fan seat right now on Josh Wolf is the hottest I ever remember it being at this point. But like, I have no idea how actual decision making looks on the team side. I, I don't know. I feel like a big loss next week, and that should be a clear message, but that hasn't seemed to have been a message before. Like, where is the actual accountability? He's not getting anywhere close to it. I mean, Tata Martino goes out there, and it's like, yeah, my team didn't want to be here, and we put out a performance that was unacceptable. Josh Wolf was like, well, I didn't have the players I needed to have here. Like, give me a break. You're the coach of the team. At least try to show some freaking effort.
Yeah, he didn't even seem like that upset about it. He was like, well, yep, I got to go out here and say the words that I say every week now. And, you know, whatever, we'll go kick a ball around the middle of the week and then we'll go get blasted by FC Frisco. And I don't really care about rivalry games anyways, so whatever. Who cares? Oh, wait, are you guys still asking? Yeah, I guess we tried. Some things didn't work. You know, this all works in practice. Same shit. Like,
it needs to be repeated, too. The Orlando team we played last night was not full strength Orlando by any margin.
Correct.
And they were, what, bottom of the East, nominally at least, or points-wise?
Bottom of the East. Well, I think New England might be right there with them, right? But they were missing three of their four best players, plus several others contributors, and we did nothing. We had no answer, and we had no interest in playing. This shit starts at the top. And there's no you can put blame on players and, hey, we don't have this guy. We have talent on this team. Yes, they're a little – some. We have some guys that are older. We do need to get younger. That's going to happen. That needs to happen. But there are players who can play on this team and play competently at this level and at least be competitive. But at some point, when you see the same damn result over and over and over and over again – there's one constant, and the constant is the guy making out the lineup card.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even the lineup either, right? Like, it doesn't matter who we throw out there. It's the same shit.
Yep.
Like, I looked at that lineup, and it's like, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. Maybe we would have played Hector, but that's pretty much what we would have thrown out there.
Well, and even getting back to it, like, if the roster's not good enough, I get that. But you can't fix the roster in one move. You can't fix the coach in one move. And you can fix the players wanting to play and having passion and actually looking like they want to be there. You know, Josh talks about not having field players, but yeah, Orlando was down four clear-cut starters and four of their five best players last night. And they looked like they gave a shit and still played hard. And like, you can't control that you may not have as much ability as the other teams, but you can still at least control your own effort.
Damn right.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw the heads hanging, what, 5-10 minutes in? Like, we weren't even losing.
I mean, the heads were hanging when they walked out on the pitch.
Yeah. Like, that's got to be a coach thing. And I mean, sure, we can do the, like, they're professional athletes, their job to get themselves pumped up. Yes, it is. But, you know, at the same time, like, maybe they're going in there pumped up, and then they get their pregame speech. Now they're like, for fuck's sake, we got to do this again. And then it, like, takes you back down. And, like, we don't know what happens. But something is happening where these guys aren't, like, ready to fucking rock and roll at the first whistle.
At this level of professional sports, one of the biggest jobs of a coach is motivation.
Yep.
And getting your team ready to play in that respect. It's not X's and O's. It's not tactics. Yes, that matters a little, but these guys all know how to play against certain tactics and what they want to do. You know, the only sport I think that has like a true direct correlation on coaches' influence in a game is honestly American football, because you get offensive and defensive coordinators calling direct plays, right? But this level of soccer and, you know, basketball, whatever the case may be, you need a guy in there who can be the steady hand, who knows what buttons to push per player to have them ready to play from a mental aspect. That's the biggest job here. And that's not Josh Wolf. We've seen this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we, you know, all last year we heard, well, the roster isn't good enough. The roster isn't good enough. Right now we're hearing the roster isn't good enough. When's it going to be fucking good enough? And, I mean, Charles mentioned it, and we talked about it. I call it the hockey goalie theory all the time. You know, you got four lines of forwards and, you know, three pairings of defensemen. They're all dogging it, or they all suck, or whatever, and you're getting lit up. You can't pull all of those guys. You can pull the goalie and send a message to the rest of the fucking team. And that's kind of the same idea, so I don't even know what we do here. Like, can anybody, I have one like sort of sideways theory, but can anybody come up with a rational, objective reason why Josh Wolf is the coach of this team still?
It's that our owner doesn't want, Roto is looking at this under a much longer time horizon, and Anthony Precourt is cheap on this stuff.
I just assumed he has certain pictures in his phone that, you know, Precourt and those guys don't want out.
Yeah. I figured it's something like that, or, you know, Precourt loved his Berhalter, and obviously he's coached the national team. Wolf's tied in with all that stuff because he's part of the cool kid crowd from the U.S. soccer good old boy days. I can only think it's like tied in with trying to be like buddy-buddy with U.S. soccer and get some favor there. But like, end of the day, what does that really get you?
Hey, we got your Nations League match in Austin. Congratulations. No, they're going to come to a stadium that's driven by business decisions. That's not driven by whether or not Josh Wolf is the head coach of Austin FC.
No, that's driven by our weather and our and Austin FC's practice facilities and the U.S. team liking to play in here. Like, that's what drives that.
Central America.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they just really like the Fairmont.
You know, maybe it's no coincidence, by the way, that both U.S. men's national team fans and Austin FC fans are calling for their coach to be fired from the same coaching tree. Well, you know, it's no coincidence that hiring the guy who learned under Greg Berhalter, who, by the way, Greg Berhalter did jack and shit as a head coach in MLS. Maybe we shouldn't have hired his protege. I don't know. This seems logical to me.
So what's really like, funny is how often you can see U.S. national team play, and especially like the goal against the goal Jamaica had, like that was basically a carbon copy of one of the goals that not St. Louis, Philadelphia had, where they basically just overloaded the box on the backside and just went for it. And like, you can just see that like a team wanting to play the U.S. national team could just scout Austin. Because we play the same system, except what's crazy is that Berhalter plays a more defensive style of the system, even. And it's so frustrating as a fan of both teams to just watch this absolute clusterfuck of attempts at coaching and just wanting it to change.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned the "can we please just be bad in different ways" thing several times too.
I'd love to be.
I don't care if you both suck. Yeah, like our bar is so low, and you guys still can't hit it.
Can we get BJ and his Air Force Ones right here to Austin to coach on Saturday night?
Dude, yes, please. You would win 3-1. That if BJ was in the locker room tomorrow for training, I guarantee you we win 3-1 Friday or Saturday night.
Again, that was if you watch those games, that team had fun and clearly liked playing together and liked him. Like, that's what you need as a coach at the very least, is just like, You need somebody who's going to motivate the team to play.
Well, like, you're not going to implement some hyper complicated, everybody knows where everybody is system in international play. So that's even more just like, go out and fucking motivate them. These guys are together like 2 weeks out of a year.
Yeah.
And find the guy who can fucking motivate people.
I mean, like, and also, like, there are clear quality issues with this roster. We recognize that. That's not an issue for the U.S. national team. Like, those guys, if you have proper coaching, should be close to a top 10 team in the world now, which is pretty awesome to say. But, like, we have yet to see the proper coaching for a long haul there.
No, I mean, the best part about that team is that those guys aren't stuck around Berhalter the whole fucking year.
Yeah, I mean, but really, if you're listening today on Sunday, like, this will be out in the afternoon, watch the game tonight, juxtapose it against what you've seen against Austin FC, and understand that if it weren't for the amazing talent difference that Berhalter has to work with, that team looks exactly like the one you see in Verde and Black every week.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I mean, go watch, like, go back and, you know, just remember watching the Jamaica game and go, okay, that's like our goal is what they did, because that's the system with better players. Like, that's what we're trying to do. And it's depressing. You guys want to talk about our big highlight?
Sure.
The beer room clearing up the line?
Yeah, we had a little flare, and it was before we were even losing. I mean, literally in the highlight package, that's our highlight. That and some Stuber saves. I just watched it before we jumped on. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice, very nice kind of confusing cross in. And it's kind of like back heel scorpion hooks it out. And it's just like, okay, you got a little flair. I'm sure he's going to be running laps today at the practice facility for doing that. But, you know, he got the ball away and he looked cool doing it. Got a little Brazilian cachet there. Did we have any other, like, I was kind of joking, but like we had one kind of decent break where we ended up basically skying the ball over the net. But other than that, it wasn't, you know, I think Rigoni got like a joke shot on goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, as I say, like that was one of those shots that like that reduced our season shooting percentage from 5-7 to 5-8. And that's like, that wasn't going in. Like I almost would have rather just had no shots on target today because that's what it really felt like in watching that match.
Yeah, I didn't even realize till after the game, and I watched the whole thing, obviously. I just warped it from my mind. I was like, okay. Charles, didn't we have something with, like, the Seattle keeper? Where he was like, yeah, like, it was a clean sheet, but it didn't really count because it was Austin or something?
No, it wasn't specifically about Austin, but it basically was his – and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, but – basically, his quote was that, like, yeah, it's clean sheet, but I wasn't really tested. Like, they didn't really do anything. Like, it was just acting as though, like, he didn't really need to even be there to get a clean sheet.
Yeah. I took some goal kicks, stretched my legs out.
I mean, honestly, the four of us could have gotten a clean sheet in the Austin-Seattle game, being the Seattle keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to guard the near post one time in that match.
Yep.
I was going to say, my middle school keeper days would have prepared me for that, I think, against this team, sadly enough.
And we could have done it last night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they didn't have Pedro Gallese because he was on duty with Purdue. Or not Purdue, Peru, because I'm clearly watching too much Charles
Madness. They could have used the Purdue keeper, and it would have been fine.
It would have been just fine. Actually, I don't even know if Purdue has a – even if they had a women – I'm sure they have a women's soccer program. I don't even know if they have a men's soccer program. I know Indiana definitely does. But that's not to the point. It's like this is – like you should at least have to have some chances moving forward that would make a difference. And there is no team in MLS. I would venture to say 4-0 SC wouldn't have been scared of the Austin FC attack last night.
Well, I mean, we'll go back to Purdue. Find the best co-ed intramural team, pick their goalkeeper, and they would have had a clean sheet last night.
Yeah.
Oh, this is sad.
It's depressing, man. Like, when your entire, and you said the highlight, but when your entire hope from the night is, hey, cool, our new Brazilian left back had a really casual-ass clearance on a scorpion.
That's oh, and if we were playing like a competitive game and that happened and, you know, we were like up a goal and it's like the 85th minute and somebody did that, we'd be losing our shit at him. But yeah, it was kind of fun at the time.
Well, I will say I did just look up Purdue. Purdue has a women's soccer team, not a men's soccer team. You know, they fired their coach at the end of last season.
Oh, really?
Purdue soccer, more accountability than Austin FC.
Yeah. All right. I guess we kind of went over their first goal too, and the second one I thought was actually well, I guess too. Like, there's a shout some people had on their first goal that they thought was offside, and I only really want to talk about this because it's a failure of the broadcast. Because Brad, I think you pulled a still, and the guy's like clearly onside, but like all of us watching it, we're like, I don't know, he could have been offside. It looked at it, looked kind of like it. Like, why don't we see a replay? And we never got one.
Yeah.
And he I mean, he was, but like it would be a lot easier if they just showed a shot that's like, yep, onside, like they do in every other league on the planet. But I assume this is part of the like MLS Apple directive to never talk about refereeing.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to the point where the graphics were so bad on various MLS broadcasts last night that whenever they went to VAR, they said they were checking for handball rather than – like, this is not even a reffing issue. I mean, yes, there were way more VARs. I mean, I think the Charlotte-Columbus game had 17 minutes of added time in the first half, which is just, like, mind-blowing at that point. But – you go through that, the graphics people for Apple were just saying every check was for a handball when most of them were for offsides or for fouls or for other things. Like, it's one thing for the refs to have a bad performance. I'm pretty sure that the Apple graphics people are the same Apple graphics people. In a year or two of this, you should be able to figure this out with the amount of money that's coming into the system.
I mean, you got to wonder where the Messi dollars are going then.
Well, I mean, Messi's hurt, so maybe the Apple graphics people also get injured when Messi gets injured. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, that was kind of a carbon copy of the U.S. goal. The second one, we give up kind of a dumb foul and they just bury a free kick. Very nice free kick. You know, they set up and basically did this thing that you've seen become a little more popular in the past couple of years where you place an attacker in the wall and you basically have the guy taking the free kick shoot at that guy and then have him get out of the way more or less. And then it's more of like a quote unquote clear path to a nice part of the goal. He sticks it in the top corner. Stuber was yelling about something.
Stuber was yelling that he didn't have a line of sight on the ball.
Yeah, I was guessing it was like that sort of side offside rule where like there's an offside player and he's blocking Stuber from seeing it, but I didn't think anybody was offside, and I assume it was our players blocking his line of sight anyways.
Yeah, it was just horrendous communication. I mean, we were, now I'm thinking back on it, I have to pull that up. I believe they were attacking their own goal. So it was pretty loud down there. Like, their supporters actually came out and looked pretty solid last night from the Orlando City end. So yeah, like there could have been some communication issues there, but like our guys should have plenty of preparation of communicating in front of loud spaces on free kicks. Like, that shouldn't be an issue. And that fact that it was an issue goes, that's poor coaching, poor management. Lodero hit a very nice ball there. Let's give Nico Lodero credit. That was his first goal for Orlando City after moving over from Seattle. Another guy, weird to see him in a purple uniform, but yeah. But I can't say the goal was undeserved.
Yeah, that free kick was going through the quiet end of the stadium.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, like, there should have been no issue there. It wasn't sold out last night. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the loud end of the stadium, sure, but like, I don't know.
And I mean,
so going back to Seth's point about coaching and management. So when Philly was playing here and Austin had a free kick in front of the supporter section, the entire Philadelphia wall turned around and looked at Sean Johnson the entire time while he was setting them up and set them up perfectly before they all turned back around. Austin doesn't do that.
You mean Andre?
There's
Blake.
Clearly just,
yeah, Andre Blake.
Or Andre Blake, I'm sorry. And so you watch that and you're just like, oh, this is a team that actually knows how to communicate, knows how to play together, and knows how to like do these things effectively on the field. And Austin does the exact opposite of that, where at most one player kind of looks.
I mean, that's not like totally unheard of. There are teams like around the world that do that. You have one guy who's basically like the set the wall captain. He turns around, looks at the keeper, keeper points and says, I want you this way, I want you that way. No, give me an extra eye. And that guy on the wall is in charge of setting it up. And basically like communicating what the keeper said, but it just doesn't seem like that happened. So I don't know.
It doesn't. It actually does not.
No. And I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what they were so upset about. Like, was it that off, like side off side thing? Or was it, you know, they thought there was a foul? Cause I saw the replay like 3 or 4 times and I was like, guys, I have no idea what you're mad about.
Yeah, I could figure it out.
Okay. I did think, you know, you're playing Austin FC at home, the like taking your shoe off and doing the, you know, phone call celebration. I get it's your first goal for your new club, but it's a bit much, dude. Like, act like you've been there before, because I know you have.
But it's also like Stuver was playing pretty well when he get a free kick past Stuver. That's worthy of a celebration.
Yeah, it was a nice goal too, so I kind of get it. Yeah, a couple nice saves for Stuver. Not necessarily as clean as he normally is, but, you know, he's not, like, spilling the ball into danger or anything.
Well, he had the one spill that was on site. That was save, and then it went into a corner kick.
Yeah.
A little weird. It was a little weird win in the first half. But
yeah, but I mean, if you're...
Yeah, otherwise he was fine.
If you're behind the ball and, you know, the ball is going out of play for a corner, it's not ideal, but you're not spilling it back where somebody can tap in a rebound or something. Like, it's not perfect, but it's fine.
Totally fair. Like, he did nothing that nothing he did last night was to me the reason why we were out of the game. Like, he was one of the only guys last night that showed any fire or passion.
No, the reason, yeah. The reason why we lost the game was the everything about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you got one player that you have in mind that you really didn't like on the night, like, I guarantee you eight other guys were just as bad.
Yeah, there was one field player that raised eyebrows in a positive way for me last night, and that was it. So,
yeah, we're saving those for stock risings because we got to do some positivity here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything we really even want to say more about the game or anything like that? Because, like, I guess we can talk about the ref. He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah. It didn't matter, I guess, is more how he put it.
Hopefully it's the last game with Scabs, but we'll find out more about what's going on with the ref situation probably Monday or Tuesday. It sounds like the refs are taking a vote over the weekend. I don't know if they'll take the – if we don't even know what the deal is or anything else there. I wouldn't be surprised if they accept it. I wouldn't be surprised if they reject it, and we'll see how it goes.
So, but did their union – did the union reps, like, suggest accepting? Is that what the news
is? So the union reps, under any labor relations law, once the union strikes an agreement, they cannot suggest a vote in favor or against. They just present it and wink, wink, nod, nod. That's how we got 95.8% of the refs voting against the first agreement.
Got it.
Yeah, hopefully that gets resolved, if only so the continuing boycott can be directly attributable to the team or U.S. Open Cup or any of the 900,000 fucking issues we have with this team in this league. Yeah, I really don't know what to say. I feel bad for the people who travel down there. And you look at that kind of performance and what we put up in Seattle. I mean, you guys are pretty much in charge of away travel. Do you think that's going to affect how much people want to go to games?
Yes.
I think I'm very fascinated to see the numbers for the Houston and Dallas trips in April and May, because that's the barometer to me. Those are our most attended away games. And if we're not taking 300 plus, then that's a sound the alarm bell, because it's pretty common for us to sell 300 or more to Houston and Dallas, well more than that. You know, Seth, we're already seeing it for the other.
Oh yeah. No, like, I mean, right now, like, yeah, as I'm looking at the spreadsheet, I mean, I got, cause for Houston and Dallas, we don't run the sales, so I can't look it up in the system, but like, as of midweek, like the day afterwards, there'd only been like 25 tickets sold for Houston in the first day. So that was not great. And like, I've internally estimated it's going to be like 100 to 150, which is just like, that would be our worst showing in Houston, even worse than when we didn't have a bus last year.
Yeah.
We sold like 40 tickets for Colorado. We're going to sell a bunch for Kansas City. We're going to sell a bunch for Nashville. But like, we might have a couple matches this season. Like, we have not sold a single ticket for San Jose away, and it's in 2 months.
Isn't the Frisco one midweek? So that might already just be naturally down.
Well, that's
later in the year. Frisco. So there's a Saturday Frisco in May, and then there's a Frisco midweek in July.
Ah, okay. That's what I was mixing up.
Because I had actually highly considered going to the Saturday Frisco match in May to do some other stuff up that area over the weekend. But honestly, I'm not so sure I want to go watch this. If I do go, it'll be for the other reasons, and I'll just go to the match because I'm up there. But yeah, most of our away travel does not look fantastic. Like Seth said, there's a few places that we consistently do well. Like, Colorado's an easy trip for a lot of people and folks like Denver. Same with Nashville. The Kansas City trip has other things going on it around it, which is kind of a huge, massive weekend. I think there's 4 soccer matches and a baseball game that weekend. Yeah. Is that right? So, between NWSL, Austin FC, Austin FC 2, USA men's, and everybody's going to a baseball game. So that's a big one. But and I think the numbers for Toronto don't look terrible for being September in Toronto and the pricing being pretty high. I think those numbers from what I've seen look okay. But I think that's – yeah. And that's the one I'm personally going on this year, because I want to see Toronto as a city. I've never been. But otherwise – The number that Seth just threw out for initial day tickets for Houston, that's alarm bells ringing. It's never been that slow or that bad on day one for an away match in state, ever.
I mean, hit him in the wallet, I guess. Is there anything else we can sort of do to actually get T.O. Tony's attention or Roto's attention that this isn't fucking good enough?
So I saw last night there is a plan apparently for some folks behind a homemade Wolf Out banner to do a march to the match Saturday.
Good.
Which is going to be interesting to see. I would imagine if they get the right people there that the news might see it. But I think things are going to get more visible. I know that last night on the Twitter spaces, the We Are Us and FTV guys were actually calling for silence in the stadium for a little while next week. Anything to try to get the attention of the folks in charge and say, hey, look, this is not good enough, because what we have and what we've been giving you, the energy is not being reciprocated.
No. And, you know, there's been a lot of internecine warfare going on, you know, between US Open Cup stuff and just the way the team's playing. And I think if we get, like, you know, smacked around by Frisco, like, the fan base is going to fucking explode. Like, internal civil warring.
Yeah, they absolutely should.
As it should.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying they're wrong.
But I think the battle lines inside of the stadium is going to be the people who want to show up at the stadium and still support the team versus people who are wanting explicitly thinking, or the people who explicitly think that the best way to support the team is by getting Wolf fired. I mean, at the match, the FC2 match on Tuesday, there were Wolf out chants because we saw that Anthony Precourt and Roto were there. And I think that's only going to continue. And I really wonder how much Lamerga and the band is going to be able to even attempt to drown that out if they want to. Because that is always kind of like the, I feel as though a lot of times like that actually protects fan sentiment from overflowing the stadium because we have the music the whole time. And if certain people in Merga decide, hey, you know what? We need to get rid of Wolf and we need to organize the moment of silence, that would actually do wonders for the movement of getting rid of Wolf.
Yeah, and I wonder too, as it starts to heat up, like how many people are going to go, well, I don't want to go stand in the fucking sun for 2 hours and watch this bullshit. And, you know, like I'm going to go do literally anything else. And, you know, we're going to have a 20,738 person sellout with 5 people in the supporter section or something.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think Leagues Cup is going to. The Leagues Cup matches here are going to sell out. I think those are going to be like
the Leagues Cup matches small. Might sell out with Rayados fans and Pumas fans.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that also season ticket holders that
do both of those matches.
Yeah. Season ticket holders that don't show up still count as sales.
Well, what would be really interesting is if we somehow did well enough in Leagues Cup and had a round of 32 match in Austin, and like against random MLS or Liga MX team on very short notice, and there were like 8,000 people that showed up in that match, because those tickets are treated like playoff tickets, so that's additional revenue.
Yeah,
and would people opt out of their tickets on that, on their automatic charges?
I would. I'm
absolutely.
Yeah, we're. We'll talk about it as a team, but I'm not planning on doing any Leagues Cup content at all for the way they've treated US Open Cup.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm going to Banff the first weekend of Leagues Cup. It's my brother's bachelor party, and that will be a lot more fun than whatever is happening during Leagues Cup.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Programming note, everyone.
We'll be taking a month off.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not a month. Maybe we'll do some. No, that'll be like right after Copa America, too. I don't know. We'll find something to do.
We can, or we could cover Women's Leagues Cup, which is not actually taking away from another competition. Or the Olympics is that. We could do the Olympics.
Oh, that'd be cool. Let's do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. All right. Yeah, maybe we'll get into some deeper dives on the best form of potato or something.
I don't know. I mean, you're supposed to be friends afterward, right? Like,
yeah, good point. No, you're fucking wrong. Wedges are stupid. We'll deal with it later. I mean, anything you guys actually want to talk about before we go ahead and do the format stuff we have to do?
I got nothing else on this night. So,
all right. Charles, stock rising. I'll let you go first.
My stock rising was Biru. or however the many iterations of his last name are said by the announcers, because every week it's different.
Yeah.
Not just because of the Scorpion kick save on an attempted Olympico, but you know, his fitness looked better, and it looks like he's somebody who actually, while Kolmanich is out, like could be relied on to play left back for the time being. And so just like having like competent MLS players everywhere is like a great thing for us, because we just don't have that many.
Yeah. I mean, some guy you can just actually like stick on the field and he's kind of fine for 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah. And I think he's got a lot more to his game to where like, I think he'll be able to help. It's just a matter of like actually seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. And, I do like, we might just simplify it to the, Alistair McAllister pronunciation of beer. maybe send a note to the MLS Apple people that just do this and don't try anymore because it's just getting sad. Seth, how about you, Stock Rising?
In honor of Alistair McAllister, I would give it to Lawrence Shankland. But no, in seriousness, for Austin FC, Brendan Heinzeich went all 90 minutes. We didn't know how good of shape he was going to be in coming into this match because he hadn't played a full 90 this season. He didn't need to be sub because, let's face it, our sub choices are pretty depressing. And he's going to be getting a lot more minutes because last night Costa Rica defeated Honduras in the Copa America qualifier. So that means Julio Cascante will be going to Copa America. Julio started for Costa Rica last night since the match was at the same time as the Austin match. I saw the goal highlights, but I haven't actually seen the full match. But Julio played last night and played well enough to get them through to Copa America. So that means he'll be gone for a good stretch of June and maybe into July as well. Actually, it will be a bit into July too. So Brendan Heinzeich is going to be getting a lot more minutes, even if Leo Väisänen is back at that point. So we may have some real center back depth issues, but I'm glad that we at least made that signing right before the start of the season.
Yeah, and he looked like he tweaked his knee towards the end of the game, but he finished it out like 80th-ish minute. So hopefully that's nothing. If you play on for another, you know, 10, 15 minutes, hopefully it's just kind of a, yeah, that was a, it looked bad, but it wasn't really anything type of thing.
Well, I will say that our window is still open for another month. And if we were to happen to sign another, I don't know, American wing back or center back, I would kind of appreciate that.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people hanging out just that can be a body out there or something.
Hopefully. I don't know if that's the job of Roto and his team. If they're scouting everything around, like, around this country, heck, go take – look at the best USL highlights. See if we can get someone on loan for a few months even.
Can I offer you a supplemental roster center back that's currently playing in Cincinnati?
I don't think they're going to give him back. I saw a couple things of people just being like, how did Austin get rid of this guy? He's so good. It's just like, pain. Brad, Stock Rising.
Well, mine was Heinzeich. I think
all of ours was Heinzeich, to be honest. But
I think it's actually the idea of playing three at the back with wingbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Heinzeich showed me enough last night to where we need to actually consider this as a tactic moving forward. I think we tried it a little bit last year, and we just didn't have the personnel for it. But especially when Väisänen's back, we've got the depth there to play it. It allows us to get both Ring and Valencia off the field. I like Valencia in a defensive role, that deep defensive midfield role, but he's terrible with the ball at his feet, and he kills our attack. This would, you know, theoretically put Danny and Draeusi in the midfield along with our wingers and whoever's playing striker that day, but I just think it makes us a more progressive team to play that three at the back with wing backs or five at the back, however you want to say it. And the idea to me is there and more palatable now because we've seen what Heinzeich brings to the table. I thought he was very calm on the ball last night, not just those defensively, but the way he moved, the way he passed, his choices. He looked like one of our better options back there all season.
Well, I was even thinking that preseason, obviously we have injury issues now, but with the personnel we have alone, like you want Gallagher and, you know, we've seen a little bit of Biru. I think you would want both of them as high as possible. So, you know, we have the personnel. You want to say we have, quote unquote, three quality starters if everyone's healthy and Väisänen, Cascante and Hedges. You know, why not?
Yeah. If one goes down or one needs a night off, you can always revert to four.
Yep.
Like we've played that. We can revert to four, and we have the midfield. We have midfielders to do that. But as long as we're just playing one game a week right now, I'd be thinking hard about going to the three at the back system with wingbacks.
Yeah, I would too. Seth kind of half stole mine. I was going to name Julio my stock rising just by being gone and, you know, getting away from Boston FC and getting I think he had a second assist in Costa Rica's game and looking like he was having some fun. So good for him and good for Costa Rica.
Did he avoid the bottles being thrown in the corner at the end of the game?
I wasn't sure. I didn't see the end of it.
Honduras, well, after their final goal, some Honduras fans were very unhappy, and it was raining bottles down in the corner by the flag.
Yeah.
I mean, I was about to say, I mean, they have a lot of people in Frisco to have practice at raining objects on people. So, but I will say that they did they did a great job yesterday of protecting the most prized assets in Frisco, Texas, that they had coverings on the Toyota vehicles in the Toyota end of the stadium. So like that, at least that we can know that the Toyota vehicles were safe and undisturbed and will be there when we visit in May.
You kept us waiting for 51 minutes to tell us that, Seth.
Burying the lead over here.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for our numbers. I'll put it in the promo, but
yeah. Also, like, I know we like people like to shit on like early U.S. Open Cup matches and like the weird stadiums and such. But like, there's an MLS stadium where there are Toyotas in one of the end zones, like, or one of the like end lines. Like, we can't make fun of other leagues when we have that.
I'm sorry, yeah. For me, the Sasha question signing a 1-day contract, plays 120 minutes, gets what, two assists? And scores the winning penalty in a game that was delayed because a high school lacrosse game went into overtime or something.
It was practice. It wasn't even a game. Practice.
All right, now you're required to do it. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. That's the magic of the cup to me. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to watch round two. There's some good stuff going on.
And they actually did a really good job in U.S. Open Cup round two of scheduling relevant regional rivalries. So, like, there's a NYCFC2 versus Red Bulls 2 derby. Des Moines Menace, unlike this time where they had to fly out to Orange County, they get to go take a 90-minute drive west to play Union Omaha. I'll be back in Bridgeview where Ford Madison's coming down here to Chicago. There's going to be there's a number of other really fun matchups throughout this. Vermont Green gets the host at home again against Carolina Core, which is one of the longer distance matchups, but really still not a horrendous flight up there for the MLS Next Pro side. Like, it should be fun.
Seth, more Chicago or Madison fans at that match?
It's a Wednesday, and traffic getting from Wisconsin to Bridgeview on a Wednesday, there'll be more Chicago fans. But I would say it's probably going to be 400 Chicago fans and 100 Madison fans would be my guess.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. But tickets are free again, and parking is free, so I'll take it. My carpool all wants to go again, so.
Who's the burrito place playing?
They're playing LA Force from Nice. No, I'm sorry. No, that was Spokane got them. Give me one second. The burrito joint, which we will all be rooting for because they're the burrito.
Are they playing Fuego?
Fucking burrito joint.
I think they might. Give me one second. I'm pulling up the fixtures right now. So El Farolito is playing Fuego. Yes.
Yeah.
But the day and stadium is not confirmed yet.
Oh, aren't they playing like a week and a half from now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not important. No. Don't worry about it.
No. All right.
A couple other notes.
You got to know those things.
We have Colorado Rapids 2 playing Northern Colorado Hailstorm. That should be fun. You've got Knoxville playing Greenville, South Carolina, just across the Smokies. You have a South Georgia derby between South Georgia Tormenta and the Savannah Clovers. You have a Texas derby of sorts between the Lubbock Matadors and 4OSC. Charlotte Independence playing the South Carolina Heat. Maryland Bobcats playing the Richmond Kicker. So yeah. And then my personal favorite is Ventura County playing Irvine Zeta, but Ventura County hasn't moved out to Ventura County. So the match is actually taking place at the Galaxy's track stadium. So you have a sort of neutral site halfway between where those teams would actually be based.
Interesting.
All right. Well, I mean, those all sound like way more exciting than watching another fucking Austin FC game. Yeah. Brad, do you want to go first on stock falling?
I think it's the captain, Sebas. I know it's his first start of the year. I know he's only played, 100 minutes or 90 minutes so far all season. But he was wildly ineffective last night. And
couldn't find the ball.
Huh?
Couldn't find the ball.
Couldn't find the ball. And it's becoming a theme with him, unfortunately. It's happening far too often in the last year and a half to where he just gets lost in the game and disappears. And if your best player is not part of your match and even looks to be part of the match plan, what are we doing here? We got to have Sebastian Drusi assert himself more often for us to be successful.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on this because mine was it'll all be fine when Driussi gets back crowd, because it won't be. And I mean, you know, some of this is, I'm sure he's not playing as well as he can, but, you know, the system isn't, you know, working in his favor either. So it's two terrible things and it seems to have a compounding effect. So I don't know what the fix is here. Like, we know what a potential fix is and we're tired of talking about it, but yeah, like internally, I don't know how we fix this. If we drop him deeper so he gets the ball more, if he just needs to get healthier, if, you know, everybody needs to run laps until, you know, the guy driving the golf cart is tired, or like what the fuck we need to do, but something.
We need to have midfielders who know how to pass him the ball.
Yeah.
So that will be my stock falling there. Will be I didn't think it could fall much further, but it would go to Alex Ring. Alex Ring, I get to the point there where I like the one thing you could usually say about Alex Ring is that in the first three seasons that Alex Ring was often underestimated, but he would come through at points. He would step in at center back. He'd make the key passes. He would get to a point where, yeah, he missed some shots. He didn't take certain opportunities, but like he got to a point where you had no doubt that he was laying out his full effort on the field. And I can't say the same for this season. I mean, gosh, like, you are a designated player in this league. You should be able to complete a pass 15 yards.
No. That's all I can say, because we have two of them. Bordering on three at this point. Although I'm still inclined to give Seba some credit that he's still coming back from an injury. But Charles, how about you?
My stock falling is the idea that Josh Wolf is going to get another head coaching job after this. I'm just not sure that based on what he has shown, any team could ever, and not just shown like on the field, but also in press conferences, how any team could ever look at him and what he's accomplished and be like, oh, you know what? He's a leader of men. We should have him.
Yeah. The press, like, I don't really care about the whole, like, well, Josh doesn't really talk to the press thing, like, because I don't really give a shit about coaches not saying anything to the press, but just how casual and, like, not bothered he is makes me think he has a ton of job security that's so completely unearned. I am really starting to wonder about the, like, you know, crazy pictures they have on pre-court and roto theory.
I mean, at this point, like, at this point, it leads into us questioning Roto's opinions about coaching and his opinions about players. If you can really sit there and just be like, oh, no, Wolf's fine. Unless his entire thing is like, he actually hates Wolf enough that like he's intentionally trying to tank his coaching career, which is my current new conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, the one I've kind of heard is like Roto knows this is a shit mess that's going to take a while. So instead of people looking at him about not signing players, he's leaving Wolf in there to take all the heat and then he'll just shit can him as soon as some decent players get in. Like, that's the closest thing I have to hope right now. I do still think it's, you know, the first employee hired by the club was Josh Wolf, and we're paying for it in season four still. Like, that's not how you run any sort of company, let alone a cutthroat industry like sports.
San Diego's making the same mistake, by the way.
I don't know if you'll notice that. But San Diego has already, I think they hired their coach, but they don't have sporting director or anything else in spot yet.
Huh. Is it like somebody with a history or?
I forgot who they hired. Seth, you remember?
No, San Diego hasn't hired anyone yet. Like, that's the whole thing, is they've signed three players without a coach or a sporting director.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that as it keeps going.
I was going to say, it is funny, if you Google search San Diego FC coach, it comes up with Casey Stoney, who is the coach of the San Diego
Waves. Yeah.
Which is appropriate and fitting. But I will say, the one match I did watch in person live yesterday was the Chicago Red Stars opener. And the Chicago Red Stars, despite finishing in last place, winning an NWSL Wooden Spoon last year, already have 6 points through two matches on this season.
That must be nice.
It's also really helpful to sign a wing back from Bayern Munich, who is completely shut down and is amazing on both ends of the pitch. But I don't know. I just see things.
I mean, we could try it.
Yeah.
What's Alphonso Davies doing? He's on a free this summer.
Yeah, I was about to say. We'll see where he ends up. Alphonso Davies with his 3-0 record against Lionel Messi. I mean, that could be useful in MLS.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we'd have to give Vancouver like $1 million buy-on fee or something like that. But
fine.
MLS is fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I've been trying to figure out if Dessler, our actual wingback coming in, is going to be healthy after the international break. And it is I have not gotten any good reports on his injury status, which is kind of scary.
It's not great. We do have a moment of levity because you just reminded me that apparently LAFC owned the discovery rights to Olivier Giroud.
Yes.
Big fan this podcast is of Olivier Giroud, even though he's a billion years old at this point. And I think he was on, I think he had just transferred or was about to transfer out to Milan and had just won a World Cup when LAFC came into existence or was about to win a World Cup. But we did have some LAFC fun last night. I guess is their little dumb pregame thing. They have a Falcon fly around the stadium. And last night they lost the Falcon. So there was just a Falcon like hanging out in downtown Los Angeles last night. They did eventually find the Falcon, but you know, if University of Colorado can't have Ralphie the Buffalo because it's dangerous anymore, then or Mike the Tiger can't hang out on the sideline for LSU. Like, why do you guys get a Falcon that you can't even keep in the fucking stadium?
But if they're winning, matches 5-0, they can lose a Falcon every day, and that will become their new match tradition.
I do think there was one time where Auburn lost the Eagle too. Like he flew out of the stadium and did not land at the 50.
Yeah, but I feel like losing an Eagle in the plains is a little different than like a Raptor in fucking downtown LA.
Fair.
Just a thought. Charles, do you have something you wanted to jump in on here? Do you guys want to move into Moment of Suffering?
We can move into Moment of Suffering.
All right, I'll let you lead off.
So my Moment of Suffering was this morning when I looked at the standings and did a little math and realized that, including League's Cups, we have 31 more matches of this season.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
Joy. And the whole podcast comes to a stop.
Sorry, that was that was too real.
Yeah, you should have gone last.
Just died a little inside, man.
Yeah, you should have told me at the beginning of the show you were going to get that heavy with it. Seth, moving on. Can you top that as like terrible?
No, I don't top that. The biggest moment of suffering was seeing I'm gonna go with the first Orlando goal because it was scored by Jack Lynn, who was the MLS Next Pro MVP last year. And another way of showing yes, he's American, so it's easier to bring him into the first team, but showing that you could actually integrate players from the second team into the first team and they can make a difference. And he looked like when Duncan McGuire goes to, I don't know, fill in the blank place this summer, because I don't imagine Duncan McGuire will be with Orlando City after the Olympics, where I think he will be leading the U.S. line there, that it goes out to a point. It's like you can bring in next pro players that can make a difference. Charlotte had their star guy from Crown Legacy also score last night against Columbus. Like, and it's just trying to figure out, like, yes, we won next pro last year with a bunch of USL quality guys, and we have not managed to integrate. I mean, I think CJ will eventually get integrated into the system, but on the whole, like, we haven't managed to integrate anyone. And I don't know why CJ wasn't on. We had two empty bench spots last night. And yes, CJ played a long match on Tuesday, but like, he could have done 10 minutes after 3 days of rest on that. Like, I don't know why. Like, we couldn't even fill out the roster spot. And it's just, I know we're going to have more injuries and we're going to continue to have more moments of suffering and 31 more matches.
Yeah, but we're not covering at least two of them, so.
Yeah. Or maybe we won't be covering, who knows what we'll be covering by June or July at this point.
Yeah. Maybe we'll pick a new sport to start following. We'll just come in and, like, read our book reports about what happened that week. Brad, how about you?
Mine's a specific play in the match. Valencia gets the ball deep in our own territory, right around the top of the 18. Turns around, has 20 to 30 yards of open space in front of him in the first half, and decides to ping a ball to the sideline that's contested. We can't hold on to it and immediately turn it over in our final third, as opposed to moving the ball forward with his feet and creating an attack and starting something off. And it's just a microcosm of how this inept this offense is.
Yeah, there was a similar moment too where Rubio's coming back to get the ball and he looks up and he sees that, I don't remember who it was, is wide open in the middle of the field, moving forward, and then he looks to the sideline and he passes it like short 10-yard pass, like angular backwards to the byline, then we cycle it back to Stuver. To the sideline, then we cycle it back to Stuver. And it was the same idea. And there was a lot of that, and it looks like it's picking up again. And like you said, it's this, I don't want to do anything wrong, so I'm always going to play it safe, like, you know, a risk-calculating robot, right?
But that's the thing, is Valencia didn't even play the safe play.
Yeah,
the
true.
The safe play was to dribble it up the middle where nobody's standing.
And then everybody missed Danny.
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of wrong decisions, it feels like. I'm going to pick one that I know we pick on Ragone a lot, but we got a free kick late in the game. That was the point that I literally just like gave up and detached myself from anything else happening. And this is, you know, 40, 50 yards out. So it's not like, you know, we have a great scoring chance or anything, but we're trying to play the ball low and then like basically set up a cross where everybody's already loaded in the box, but we're trying to hit a free man on the side and then improve the angle and then smack it in, you know, like maybe get a goal or, you know, a deflection or something. And, you know, they're not really playing the guy who we're trying to pass it to. And Rigoni just like half hits it. And then an Orlando guy just sort of like walks over and takes the ball. And this is like the closest thing we were going to have to a chance at the end of the game. And it was just like, holy fuck, guys, you can't even do like this little bit, like just hit it towards the goal and you would have done better than this. And it was just, yeah, like you kind of said, a microcosm of the entire evening. And I don't know, like we talk about improving the roster and, you know, maybe it's not worth buying him out, but psychologically, I can't watch him play anymore.
It was funny last night at the watch party. The whole room erupted just when Ragone came in. Just people pissed off. And I looked at everybody, I'm like, who's been playing better that you can justify leaving on over him right now? On the roster tonight, available to you.
Yeah, and I mean, like, people are getting mad that Jimmy's not getting minutes. Like, we watched him on Tuesday. He wasn't great even at MLS Next Pro against 4OFC level. So, like, I don't think he's gonna be better, but I totally understand people being like, give me literally anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think Seth said it right, where Fodry was the play last night to try to do something different if you wanted to have that off the bench. But when Rigoni came in last... It, huh?
He didn't get on the plane to Orlando last night.
Yeah. I mean, but that would have been the option, right? If you're going to do something prior to the game, that would have been the option.
Yeah, so like, I don't know how Jimmy makes that roster as one of his four emergency call-ups and CJ does it unless CJ got hurt.
CJ did look a little ginger at the end of the game on Tuesday night. Like, he was holding his leg a little bit. So that could have actually played in there. So,
yeah, okay.
Also, side note, apropos of nothing, but does Jimmy count as an international if we sign him to the MLS team?
Yeah, Jimmy's Liberian.
Okay, because I thought that was one of the things that hasn't been talked about with the supplemental roster, is that it makes sense to use those on him because signing him to a full deal would be more complicated.
Yeah. That was part of my thought process, or like he's sort of a break glass in case of emergency, but if you actually want to take a look at some of the other guys, you're going to do it in a more managed situation or something. So I have no idea. I'm sure there's some sort of method that's probably incredibly stupid, but some reason behind it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, incredibly stupid reason behind it describes a lot of MLS.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, anything else we want to talk about? Like, there wasn't anything to talk about in the game, but we did our best.
I mean,
we missed.
I'm very much looking forward to next Saturday, if for nothing else than having Choo Choo's and Brews back, because I at least should be in a good headspace walking into the stadium.
As long as you don't get stuck on the train.
Might be a better game to watch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Might be more entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm very much not looking forward to needing to buy some earplugs to make it through the game because Dallas's stupid band will be there.
Oh, yeah. Don't we have this new thing where everybody's has to allow instruments, and now that Austin isn't going to win it in Frisco this year, you like have to let the other people celebrate when they get leagues or the Copa Tejas?
I don't think celebrations are going to be allowed on the field for road teams for if they win the cup.
Okay. I thought that was part of the new rules.
But we've always done reciprocal rights for the drums and the bands for regular season matches.
Yes.
So. Okay.
It's just with the roof up there and where we sit, it gets very loud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that might not be the best time to do a moment of silence then.
Yeah,
honestly, it might be.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's either the best or the worst.
Because you know, you want to send a message. Let your rival take over the stadium for a few minutes.
That's gonna hurt, but you know, people who are well above my pay grade take care of that stuff. So, just tell us what to do, guys. We'll be happy to do it. Yeah, looking forward to. Not a ton of joy in the USA game tonight, but we'll get through it.
Oh, no, Berhalter is going to find some stupid-ass way to win that game 2-1 in 120 minutes. Always.
Yep. I don't know. They tend to show up against Mexico.
And Mexico won 3-0, but it was one of those, like, no, they got super, super lucky to win 3-0. So it goes to their head a little bit, which means they might not show up at all tonight.
Yeah. You know,
I thought what about do we think
the crowd split will be tonight? 90-10, 95-5?
Closer to 90. Yeah, easy. I thought about going to the match tonight, and then I realized they didn't kick off till 8:15, and well, screw that.
Yeah. All right. But well,
if you want to go, I was looking at what you want to go. You can get in for $60.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's upper deck, but
you'll pay $50 to park.
Yeah, that is the bad part.
That's the other catch. Or you got to walk a mile. One of the
or honestly, what I do for Arlington games is I park in downtown Arlington at one of the burger joints and take like the $6 shuttle.
There you go. Advice if you guys need it. Maybe you can listen to this on your way up. Although I guess at this point that wouldn't be too helpful. all right. Last call. Anything else we want to hit? Nope. All right. Well, on behalf of Seth, Brad, and Charles at the False Nine, thanks for suffering with us. Bye.
Wallace here for Austin Jarrett Stroud. It's Diego, for goodness! He has written his name into Austin folklore.
They just won't go away.
Oh, he hits the upright again!
That's impossible.
The Bears' season's going to end on a double doink.
Altidore squares it. Dempsey's missed it. Donovan has it. From hope, there is glory.